Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I understand that there's a football game later on today. It's amazing that two teams are still playing. My team didn't quite make it this year. In fact, my team kind of came out of the contention for the Super Bowl around October. But they finished good. They finished good. And there is somebody in our midst who has a great jacket representing my team. Can you hold up your jacket? Salute. All right. My colors. Thank you. Thank you. There are some other teams who were out of contention in September. I won't name those teams, but one of them is very close to us here in Winchester. Somebody named them. Okay. But I hope that whatever you're doing this evening, you're doing in celebration of something special. My wife and I will probably be paying more attention to the commercials than anything else. In 1980, there was a movie that came out, and it was one of the films that I completely adored at that time and completely adore today. And that movie was called Fame. How many ever saw it? Fame, I want to live forever. Yeah, it's a great movie, and I'm not ashamed to say that part of the reason I love that was because I'm a theater nerd. I was a sophomore in college. I was a theater major in college, and so that was just something that I latched right onto. For those of you who don't know the movie, it's about students at New York's High School of the Performing Arts, a place where young people gather to learn and to stretch their wings in things like theater and music, composition and playing, as well as dance. And it's just a remarkable movie. But like all movies, it has a conflict. Actually, it has several conflicts, but the one that stands out to me was the professor, the teacher in the music department, and a young student, a new student. This professor, who had just the air of authority about him, said that composition is for the orchestra, and the orchestra is made up of the following: a string section, a woodwind section, a brass section, and percussion. Nothing else but those things. It's tradition. This professor who just ooted authority, portly man with white beard and white hair, and wore glasses. And if you ever see anybody who looks like that, would you please let me know? Anyway, he just was authoritative. Authoritative. He had the history. He had the training. He had the skills. But there was this young man, new student, with wild curly hair, a young man who was a prodigy in composition. He'd been composing music since he was 8 years old. And he wanted to stretch the definition of an orchestra. He wanted to include other instruments, electric guitar or a drum set. And there was conflict. There was conflict between the authority of tradition and trying to expand and do something new. Well, as that conflict made its way through the movie, actually the authoritative professor relented, and at the end of the movie was the graduation at the end of the year, and the young man was able to have his composition played. And yes, it was the theme song of the movie, Fame, I Want to Live Forever, I Want to Fly to the Sky. Almost religious sounding, isn't it? Jesus, in our gospel lesson today, is in Capernaum and came to the synagogue. Mark's gospel has Capernaum as Jesus' hometown. Yes, he was Jesus from Nazareth, but at some point in his life, he moved to Capernaum. We don't know why, but he did. And so he goes to the synagogue this one day with some new disciples, some new friends. And he picks up a scroll, doesn't say which one, and he reads a lesson, and then he teaches, which is not altogether unusual to happen in a synagogue. But what was unusual, what was remarkable, was that Jesus taught as one who had authority. You see, everyone else who taught in a synagogue, a rabbi, they appealed to the authority of Scripture, of history, of tradition. But here's Jesus speaking as one with authority in himself. Well, this is shocking. This is new. This invites conflict, which occurs throughout all the Gospel of Mark. Jesus conflicting with an assumed authority, with a new authority. And this authority that Jesus has gets identified when a strange man comes into the synagogue and begins to talk in the voice of a demon. What do you have to do with us, Jesus? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You see, Jesus' authority comes because he is the Messiah, because he is the Son of God. And with this authority, Jesus tells the demon to skedaddle, get out of here. You don't belong. And you see, authority and conflict, tradition and new, it can result in something good, someone being healed, someone being given new life. But the authority of Jesus was different than any other authority appealed to. The Lutheran Church forever has decided that its clergy, its pastors, those who lead in the congregations and in the community should be well educated, should learn about Scripture and about theology and about all sorts of different things that gives that individual credentials, but not authority. But not authority. And the church to this day has had an issue with authority. There are those within the church who want the church to speak with authority, particularly on hot-button issues of the day. But you see, the only authority we have is the authority of being and having faith in Christ. The only authority we have is the authority that Jesus gives us. And when Jesus doesn't speak on the hot-button issues of our day, what are we left with but the authority to love? The authority to give mercy, the authority to present God in a graceful way. From that time on in our gospel lesson, Jesus' fame grew. So much so that when he and his disciples began to move from community to community, those who came out to see him, the crowds just grew and mushroomed. Elsewhere, it says that Jesus had no room because the crowds were too great. He and his disciples kept looking for a place for them to rest, but the crowds grew and pressed in. His fame grew, but it was not his fame which lasted. It is his authority. The authority to love, the authority to heal, the authority to change lives. And that, through the Holy Spirit, is given to us. Not to divide, not to conquer, not to live within our own fame, but to live in the shadow of Christ's own authority. It's not fame that will cause us to live forever, but it is faith in the hope and the promise of Christ's redeeming act on the cross, the ultimate authority. Authority in which you are named. Authority in which you have already heard today in the absolution. The authority of Jesus Christ, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That same name, that same authority in which we baptize. That same name and that authority which feeds us at this table. That same authority that allows us to end our prayers in the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. It's not fame, it's faith. And we will live forever. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.